Now get your handout, and I want you to go right to a scripture on your handout. It's the second scripture, and that's where we're going to be this morning. I just want us to read it before we begin this morning. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I love 2 Timothy, and you'll see why as we get into the lesson, and I think you're going to enjoy studying this too. So get ready this morning to be challenged, to be encouraged, to understand that, you know, what you feel, everybody feels. And so we're going to be looking at some real specific things, and we're just going to start this morning on this passage because you know it takes me a long, long time. So that means you have to go ahead and plan to be here next Sunday, right? All right, let's read 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. And this is Paul, and Paul is speaking to his disciple, his beloved son in the faith, somebody he had poured into. Is there somebody in your life you've poured into? Well, we've poured into our children for sure, our grandchildren. And then there are others in our lives who've come alongside of us, and we've poured into them. And so this is Paul speaking to the one in whom he has invested so much. Let's read it together. You therefore, my son, and then comes, and I put it in italics, I mean in bold print, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Now, Timothy, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, let's ask God to do that this morning, to give us understanding as we study the scripture together. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this little letter that slipped into the New Testament that is going to be of great encouragement to us beginning this morning. And our prayer is that you will give us understanding in everything as we're living our lives here on this side of heaven, that we might be wise women, that we might be women who are firmly planted, women who are strong in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we ended our lesson last week in Luke 24, and that's kind of where I want to start this morning, in verse 49. So go on your handout there, and let's begin by just giving our attention to this verse. And this is Luke, and Luke is giving us the last account there with Jesus. They were in that upper room. They were all locked up, and suddenly Jesus appears, and he's giving them instruction. And this is what he says in verse 49. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this, "Behold, wow," he says, "I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Clothed with power from on high. Now notice he says, I'm sending a promise. I've been telling you about something that I'm going to send you. It's the promise of my Father. Now that promise that Jesus was going to send came 10 days later. And it was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to the earth in a mighty powerful way on the day of Pentecost. Now, that was the birth of the church. That's you and I, our atmosphere. That's where we're living. We're living in the church age. We have the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And even though those disciples, that night, as they were hearing Jesus talk, as Jesus was giving them his mission mandate to go and preach forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And so they were just so excited. Jesus was alive, and they had seen him, and he had opened their minds to understand all the Old Testament scriptures that predicted that he was going to suffer, and he was going to die, and he was going to be resurrected. And they now understood that all of that was God's plan. And then Jesus gives them this mission mandate. Go proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name. And they were so pumped, and they were ready to go, but Jesus said, wait, wait. I don't want you to go yet. I want you to stay here in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. I'm going to send him. And that was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit did come, and boy, were they powerful. They displayed lives of power. That very first day, 3,000 people were saved. The church was born. And in the days to follow, it was growing by leaps and bounds, by the thousands. And you can read all about that in the book of Acts. It was truly amazing what God did after Pentecost in the lives of just ordinary people. Ordinary people who were vessels filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look around at us. We're ordinary women, aren't we? But did you know there's power? There's power available to ordinary women, and it's the Holy Spirit. Now when did we get the Holy Spirit? We got the Holy Spirit the day we were saved. And so even though we're ordinary, in our own strength, we can do nothing, but the truth is, when we're born again, and by the way, we don't have to wait 10 days. When we're born again, we immediately receive the Spirit. He moves right in. He's the same powerful Holy Spirit who was there on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. And so I guess we could truthfully say that when we were saved, we too, listen, I like how this sounds. We were clothed with power from on high with the promise of the Father. Now, I just really like thinking about that. Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is in us. Wow. We have power to serve. We have the power to live. We have the power to witness. We have the power to be holy in our lives. We have Holy Spirit power in us. Now, I want to teach you a lesson this morning about being strong in the Lord. And we're going to be looking at Timothy. Now, Paul wrote two letters in the New Testament to Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy. This is the very last letter Paul is going to write before he is beheaded. And so he's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his ministry. And Timothy is his young son in the faith. Now, do you remember last week we were talking about passing the baton to the next generation? Well, this is what Paul is doing. He's passing the baton of his ministry, and he's giving it to young Timothy. Now, after Paul was released from his very first imprisonment, he took Timothy, who he had been investing in and teaching and equipping, and he took him to the city of Ephesus. He left him there in Ephesus. And 1 Timothy tells us that Paul said to him, now I want you to set things in order here in Ephesus in this church. And that was his assignment. He was young. And in that first letter, Paul tells him exactly what to do, and then he writes back a little later, and that's 2 Timothy 2. Now, truth is, that was a very hard assignment. He was young. He didn't have the experience Paul had. He went there, he had opposition there, and it was tough. Have you ever had an assignment that was tough? Well, this was a very tough assignment for him, and he was getting discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? This means yes. This means no. Have you been discouraged? You see, this church had fallen into ungodly behavior. Not only that, the church was in the middle of persecution from the Roman government. I mean, this is just a lot for a young little pastor to handle. So you know what? Paul is going to write this second letter. He's going to tell Timothy, now, Timothy, I'm going to call you to be strong. I know you're discouraged. I know you're fearful. I know the battle is hard. And that's right where Timothy was. And so this is a word given to him about being strong in the midst of discouragement. And I think this is a word that you and I need living in this generation. Do you ever just get overwhelmed by the day in which we're living and the amount of evil and how fast it's progressing? And it just feels overwhelming to me. And I think this is a word that you and I need together. I think this is a chapter for us today, because God is calling us in our generation to stand strong. Now, I think down in my deepest heart, if I just went to the very bottom line of my heart, I have this desire to experience the love of God and the strength of God and the power of God in my life. I really want that, all that's available. And what we're going to see is just this. Timothy needed to understand, Timothy, hardship, difficulty, it's just part of the program. It goes with the territory. And we need to know that this morning. He had a calling on his life. He had a duty to fulfill. He needed to trust that God was able to handle it and bring it all about. He didn't need to be discouraged, but just tell yourself that when you're discouraged. Don't be discouraged, Teresa. And then what are you doing the very next minute? You're so discouraged. So you, therefore, my son, you be strong. Don't be ashamed. Don't ignore your spiritual gift. Don't forget about all your spiritual resources. I want you to be faithful. You need to be effective. You got to be strong. Listen, there is a lot at stake in your life, Timothy. And I'm going to just say this morning, there's a lot at stake in your life this morning, in your world. That's true. You have influence, and there is a lot at stake. A lot depends on us. Now, Paul can't just leave it at that. I mean, you can't just say, be strong. See you later. Bye-bye. Because we say, well, I want to be strong. I mean, I really do in my heart. I hear what you're saying, Paul, but tell me more. What does being strong look like? Exactly how is that going to happen? And so Paul is going to tell us in these scriptures, Timothy, I want you to be strong, and this is what it looks like. This is how to do it. And in these few verses, Paul gives us four pictures of what spiritual strength looks like in our lives. Now let's go back to verse 1. It begins with the words, you, therefore. And you know that word, therefore, always takes you back to what Paul has said before. And so that takes us back to chapter 1. And in that chapter, Paul has talked to Timothy. And three times in that chapter, Paul has had to tell Timothy, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. And Paul is, listen, he is an apostle, and he's speaking with authority, and this is going to become, in the scriptures, the very word of God. And so he's speaking with authority. He's calling for boldness. He's calling for courageous action on Timothy's part. He wants Timothy to be faithful. You, therefore, be strong. And yet, even though he's speaking with authority, I want you to notice he balances it with love by saying, my son, You, therefore, my son, that's love. That's tenderness. Be strong. Because Timothy is his beloved son in the faith. You know, Timothy had come to Christ as a result of the preaching of Paul, and Paul poured his life into Timothy. So if we take facts out of chapter 1, we could just summarize it this way. Timothy, because you have a genuine faith, because you are truly gifted by God, you've been ordained by the elders of this church, you have spiritual resources available to you, you've been called to preach, you know the Word of God, you know true doctrine, therefore, you must be strong. You must be strong. Now take that phrase, be strong. And let's write this on our handout. In the Greek, it means keep on being empowered. That's what it means. Keep on being empowered. Now notice, it's not talking about you just pull up your bootstraps and you strengthen yourself. No, no, no. It's not, you're not strong in your own strength. Notice what the verse says. You need to be strong in the strength of the Lord. In other words, allow God's power to flow through you. Recognize the power that is in you. Put yourself in the position to be empowered. Now that's going to mean for Timothy that he's got to stay in the circle of obedience. This is true for us. When we keep ourselves in the study of God's Word, when we are in an attitude of prayer as we're walking through our days, as we're meditating on the things of God and who He is, you and I are putting ourselves in the atmosphere to be empowered. And that's what Paul is saying. Just put yourself in the position to be empowered. Now go back to the verse. And let's write this on our handout. Be strong by means of, and here it comes, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to talk about grace for a few minutes. You see, because I'm united to Christ, because I'm saved, I'm standing in the grace of God. Now, we're saved by grace. We know that. But grace doesn't stop at salvation. Grace continues to operate in our lives. So let's write it on our handout this way. Grace operates in two ways in our lives. Number one, it's called the grace of forgiveness. The grace of forgiveness. And then what we're talking about this morning is the next one, the grace of power. Now think about it. Let's go back to that first one, the grace of forgiveness. We know we don't deserve God's forgiveness, right? It's by God's grace that we are forgiven. We're forgiven by grace. Have you ever thought about it this way? It is God's unmerited grace that grants us then the power to serve Him. I want you to look at Romans 5:2 on your handout. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. Listen, I'm not only introduced to grace at salvation and I'm saved by grace, but then it becomes my foundation, my atmosphere. It's what we're standing in. We're standing in grace. We're fixed in grace. It's the atmosphere we live in. So God's grace is there for forgiveness, and God's grace is there for me, for my service. Now listen, I don't deserve to be forgiven, right? And then I can say it this way. I don't deserve to be used by God either. But it's all by grace. It's only by grace that I'm forgiven. It's only by grace that God uses me. I think about this Sunday school class. I am the most unlikely person to be a Sunday school teacher. If you could just look at my past, how did I ever get here? I don't know, but pinch me. I love it. I love God's Word. I love sharing God's Word. I love teaching God's Word, but it's nothing but I mean, it's almost a joke. It's God's grace. I'm going to my 50-year reunion this year in high school. And this is actually my 53rd year, but COVID has postponed us. And so, you know, I just think about when I tell them, you know, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. They're going to think that's hilarious. No, not you, Teresa. Yeah, I know. It's grace that forgave me. And then that grace became the atmosphere in which I was living, and it became the power in my life that God could even use me. And I didn't deserve any of it. And when I sin, even on this side of salvation, you see, there's that grace. It's constantly cleansing me and making me right with my God. And then there's that power available to me that I can constantly be serving Him and being used by Him. It's the grace of forgiveness. It's the grace of power that enables me to serve Him. And it's all of Him. Amen. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking to Timothy about the grace that is available to him to empower him to this hard calling that he's finding himself in. He's over his head. Have you ever felt like you're over your head? He is. So he says, Timothy, you got to be strong. You got to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, help me, Paul. Help me to see more clearly just exactly what that would involve. And Paul gives us four pictures. And if I can take this teaching and realize that I have to live out these four pictures in my own life, then I'm going to be putting myself in a place of strength. Let's start by looking at the very first picture this morning. Now, we're only going to be able to cover one this morning. And so the first picture he gives is, Timothy, you have to see yourself as a teacher. So put that down. Now, to go back to verse 2, he says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This verse is all about the teacher. And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I taught you. Now you go out and teach faithful men, and they'll go out and teach others also. Paul, I'm giving it to you. You give it to faithful people, and they're going to give it to other faithful people. And Paul, Timothy, you've just got to see yourself as a teacher. This is exactly what Jesus did. He poured his life into 12 people. Just 12 people. And he told those 12 to go out and share what had been entrusted to them. They were stewards of what was given to them. And they went out and they taught the next generation, who went out and taught the next generation, who went out and taught the next generation, and they taught the next. And it's a living chain that has gone on and on until one day someone taught us. Now I'm to be teaching another. You and I are in that living chain that takes us link by link all the way back to Jesus. And Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I know it's hard, but you cannot bail out on me now. I'm at the end. I'm fixing to die. I'm giving you this baton. You've got to take it and be faithful. Too much is at stake here. You just can't walk away. You can't give up your ministry. I've invested too much in you. You've got to be strong in the grace that is yours in Christ Jesus, because I'm almost done here. It's up to you to take these things that I've taught you, and now you've got to commit them to faithful men. You have got to keep this thing going. I remember one time in my life when I just felt like walking away. Have you ever felt like that? I just felt like I'm walking away from this. I remember thinking, I'm going to work in my flower bed. That's a crazy thought, but there are other things I can do. This is too hard. This is hurtful. There's opposition here. there's this, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Then there were other times when I thought to my life, God, this is a mess. Somebody ought to do something. Have you ever felt like that? Somebody ought to do something. And one day I heard God say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you do something? Now, the things that Timothy heard from Paul actually became the Word of God in the New Testament. It was pretty important stuff. So I want you to write it on your handout this way. Paul's teaching equals Scripture. That's what he was entrusted with, the doctrine of the Scripture. And Paul is saying, look, it can't stop with you. You can't sit down. You can't go work a flower bed. There's too much at stake. You have to guard what I've given you. You have to protect it. You have to give it away to the next generation. And that is you and my primary goal. Remember last week we said, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is you've got to tell others, repent for the forgiveness of sins. And that's our primary role, is to pass it on. I'm thinking about my own life this week as I'm studying this lesson. And I just think about all the teachers that God is putting in my life. Put in my life. And I think about to the beginning when I was a young bride. And there was Miss Beryl Harper. And she was an old maid school teacher. And she had a purse as big as Texas. And, you know, she would walk around like old Southern women used to walk 50 years ago. You know, they're so prim and proper. And she loved God's Word. And somehow ended up in her ladies' Sunday school class. I wasn't saved. I didn't even know anything about the Bible. And every week she would share her heart out of God's Word. And I would just leave that Sunday school class, and I would be so moved by her lesson. And I remember just, you know, tears. And I thought, oh, this is embarrassing. I'm crying. I didn't know I was going to do that. But she impacted me. She loved me. She cared about me. And she gave me the Word of God. She started entrusting me. You know what happened to me? I got saved in that little church. And then I think about Kay Arthur. I owe so much to Kay Arthur and her precept Bible studies. I've been to Chattanooga. I've been under her teaching. I've been trained how to lead in her studies and how to study my Bible. And she taught me so many important things about studying the Bible. I love John MacArthur, Al Mohler, Tim Keller, John Piper. The list goes on. I think about all the books. You know, I love biographies. I've read the biographies of just the greatest Christians throughout the centuries. The Puritans, their writing is so wonderful. All of this truth that God put into their lives. And they wrote books to share it with other generations. And they've taught it to me. And you know what? I've taught it to you. Because I've never had an original thought. I just glean what others have learned about God and I share it with you. And I'm passing the truth on to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? That's why I gave you a handout. Because you know what? You might be talking to somebody during the week and you're saying, we're learning this or whatever, and I can't remember. And you can get out that little handout, and there it is, the scripture, the bullet points, what you need to share with someone, what you need to go over to remind yourself. I think Sunday school is one of the best ways to pass the truth on, to learn the truth, and then you walk out of here and you share it with somebody else. I'm praying that as we're studying this morning, that the Holy Spirit is impressing on your heart that being strong, listen, in the grace of the Lord means you're going to have to share the truth. You're going to have to pass it on. You're going to have to take what you learn, find someone else, and deposit that truth into their lives. That is what being strong in the grace of God looks like. You accept that responsibility. You're all about taking the baton, running the race, and placing that baton in the hand of someone else who will also run the race. So, Timothy, I want you, Paul says, to take what I have put into you, and then you entrust it to faithful men. You pass it on. You pass it on. We do this with our children. We're taking what we're learning and we're putting it into their lives. We do it with our grandchildren, with our family, with our friends, with anyone in our world who will receive it. And it's because God has given us this mission mandate. And then I was just thinking about this week. You know, if the church is weak, it's because the leaders are weak. And where are we going to find strong leaders? Well, you know what? You have strong leaders being built right in your home, your sons and your daughters. And you've got to be raising them up in the Word of God. Yeah, they need to know how to play baseball and dance and all of those important things. But bottom line, build them up to be strong in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. That's your greatest mission, is to be building them to be leaders, because our children and our grandchildren are the leaders of the church tomorrow, aren't they? And we have to do everything we can to invest the truth, because so much is at stake. Now notice what kind of people we're to pass it on to. Timothy, pass this on to what kind of people? What's the word I'm looking for?
Faithful.
So write that on your handout. It says to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He doesn't say, now look, just run out there, find anybody you can, anybody and everybody. He says, no, you're going to have to be selective. You're going to have to be selective. I can't invest myself in everybody, so I've got to find somebody who wants to be faithful. And Paul is not talking so much about Timothy's preaching ministry, because that is to everybody. He's at the church, he's going to get up, he's going to proclaim God's word. No, that's not talking about his preaching ministry. This is talking more about his private ministry of discipling other faithful people. And it's the idea here, Timothy, you got to find some people in your world, and you're going to pour your life into them, and then turn, they're going to turn around and pour their life into someone else. And so who should I choose? And he says, I want you to choose someone who's faithful. Let's just kind of expand that word faithful. It's going to be someone who has proven character. So put that on your handout. It's going to be someone who is trustworthy. That's another word. Trustworthy. They can take the things of God. They can be trusted with the things of God. And then it's going to be those who are reliable. They're reliable. You can depend on. And then those who are loyal. Loyal. You know, this is somebody who is going to be willing to stay true to the Word of God. And Timothy, take your time. Be strong. Faithful men. Find them. Pour your life into them. And then they're going to be able to teach also. You're going to be a teacher maker. And this is true for all of us. We're all to be involved in passing on God's word. Passing on God's word. You know, there is a real hidden blessing in teaching. Because if I wasn't the teacher, I would let the busyness of my week crowd out my study time. But because I have to get up and teach you every Sunday, I have to carve out time to really sit down, get my mind together, think of my words, write a silly handout, do all of those steps. And the hidden blessing in that is this: what I give away to you, I keep. And so put that on your handout. So when you're teaching others, when you're investing in the lives of other people, what you're investing, you keep. And you learn it, and it becomes yours. So today, go home. Share what we've talked about this morning in Sunday school. Share it with your husband. Share it with your children. Share it with your friends, with your family. Share what you've been learning in your own personal time of Bible study and prayer. See yourself as a teacher. Teach God's Word. Get a group of Christians and teach them. Pass the truth on to the next generation. I'm telling you this morning, this is our hope for our generation. It's the only hope we have, is to get in the truth of God's world. Because you and I are living in a world that is literally coming apart in every dimension. And the only thing that's going to stand true and solid and give any kind of a plumb line to future generations is the Word of God. And we are to pass it on. So Paul says, one of the elements, Timothy, of being a strong Christian involves seeing yourself as a teacher. So let me tell you what that's going to involve. And let's bring it to a bottom line. Number one, you're going to have to study it for yourself. That's the first thing. You're going to have to be a diligent student to the scriptural message. You're going to have to know it before you can pass it on, right? And then you're going to have to articulate it. You're going to have to be able to clearly articulate it to another person. And then number three, you're going to have to be loyal and faithful to it, to that biblical message that you're sharing. In other words, number four, what you're sharing, you're going to have to live it. Because if I'm going to tell you something I'm not living, then you're not going to listen to me. And then, number five, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. Earnestly contend for it. And then number six, and this is the whole point of our lesson this morning, you're going to have to pass it on. You must continually be involved in the training process of another person, equipping others who can pass it on to someone else. That's because the Christian life is nothing more than a relay race. Now, I want you this morning, as we close, to get that picture in your minds. That's the first picture Paul gives. Teresa, how am I going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Well, you're going to have to see yourself as a teacher. You're going to have to take the responsibility. You're going to have to study it, know how to speak it. You're going to have to be loyal to it. You're going to have to be faithful to it. You're going to have to live it. You're going to have to fight for it. And then you're going to have to share it. And that's all that's involved in being strong in the grace. And I'll say again this morning, there's a lot at stake. And you know, we say, well, somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to do that. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that somebody is you. This is something for all of us. Now, I'm asking you this morning, do you really want to be strong in the Lord? Do you have problems with discouragement, fear? Are you struggling? Things are hard. Well, this morning, you know, I'm an exhorter, and I just love to say to you this morning, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is yours in Christ Jesus. It's grace, yes, for forgiveness of sins, but not only that, it's grace for service, for life. It's where you stand. Get your mind that not only was I saved by grace, but I am standing in grace. I'm standing in grace. And that empowers me. The Spirit is in us. We have every resource we need this morning. And you and I are called to be faithful in this generation. And God's placed us here in Brookhaven at First Baptist. Now, I brought with me this letter that I think everybody received this week. And it's talking about our dear faithful pastor. He's been here 25 years. Isn't that hard to believe? No other pastor has been here as long as him in this church. And we're fixing to have our 150th, isn't that right, 150th anniversary in our church. And on June 26th, we're going to honor him for his 25 years of service. I was on that pulpit committee that brought Brother Greg here to our church. And I was young back then, and I'm old now. And I tell you, he has done this. He has fought the good fight. He has faithfully served us. I want to encourage you to put that date, June 26th, on your calendar. We're going to have a special day for him, special service. He hates it. He just hates it. He does not want us to do this. We are doing it. We don't care what he thinks. And that afternoon, we're going to have a reception for him right here in this room, and cake and everything. And I just want it to be a special day for him. We need to honor him. I know he gets discouraged. It's not easy, is it? Now, you're going to have to come back next week because there's three more pictures. So what's the first picture? We have to be a teacher. We've got to pass the baton. And so there are three more coming. Soldier, farmer, and one more. Athlete. And they're all good. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for the blessing to gather this morning in our church. Challenge us this morning. You're not calling just the preachers and the staff of the church to be strong in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. This is a word to us this morning as well. And we get discouraged, and life is hard for us too, Father. And you're calling us through Paul, telling us now, stand in that grace. Be strong in that grace. Pass and deposit this gospel to those in your world. That's all a part of standing strong. We pray for our generation, Father. We grieve over our world. We pray you will use us. You will encourage us. You will strengthen us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.